Welcome back to The One Where I Met Your Mother. It's a podcast about friends. It's a podcast about how I met your mother.
This is new.
I try to say it in a different way every time. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you today?
I am doing well. It's the first night of Hanukkah.
It is the first night of Hanukkah. Well, I'm sitting next to our little Hanukkah corner.
Yeah. We also decorated for all the holidays here, so it's very festive. We just finished up a Thanksgiving with my side of the family.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a busy weekend.
It's been, yeah.
Now we're trying to cram in this podcast. Yeah. Yeah. We got a dinner tonight. We're really doing it up.
We're making it work. How are you?
Oh, thank you for asking. I'm well. Good. I saw a bad movie today.
Aw. I'm glad I didn't see it with you.
Yeah. But if you want to hear me talk about bad movies, well, hopefully mostly good movies. You do that on Battleship Pretension.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into movies here. I'm not promising that. I might go into movies. But let's just jump in. So we're talking about season two, episodes two of both our shows. We're going to start with Friends, season two, episode two, the one with the breast milk. Am I right? Did I get it right?
That's right.
Did I get the name right? So we've got a non-perk opening.
Yes, it's an apartment opening.
It's in the apartment where they're all
hanging out with Ben. Ben's here.
Including Carol and Susan are there. Which you guys, for a second I was like, it's weird that they're like, because they're leaving Ben with Ross, but it's like, for a second I was like, it's weird that this isn't happening at Ross's place, but like, Monica's his sister, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
They're not like, it's not some other friend's apartment, it's like...
And they all hang out
It's still
out
in
there.
The family, this is like Aunt Monica's apartment.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? So it makes sense. But Carol starts breastfeeding. Joey and Chandler are so mature about it.
They're so, like, juvenile.
And that's the thing, like, I understand, like, attitudes have become more open about it, but even like when I was a kid and there were like family gatherings, there were a little kid, like sometimes people were breastfeeding. Like I don't know how sheltered Joey and Chandler both must be to like for this to cause such consternation.
Yeah. And they live in a city, so I don't know, maybe they don't see it very often,
I guess. But I'm imagining, this is me probably just resorting to stereotypes, I'm imagining Joey's from a big Catholic family.
He is. He's mentioned, like, he has, like, 30 sisters.
Yeah. One of them played by Drea Di Matteo, Adriana from... Isn't that I never watched Joey, the spinoff, but isn't that the deal that he moves to L.A. with one of his sisters, played by Adriana from...
I don't remember that, but that is funny.
I think that's the case, but maybe I'm wrong.
We will meet some of Joey's sisters.
So, so Joey and Chandler like retreat to the kitchen and Ross is like, what's going on? And the whole time I was looking at, there's a painting of an avocado. Was there always a painting? Is that new for season two?
I don't think it's new. I think it's been there.
Cause you know what else is, oh, go ahead.
No, go on.
I failed to mention it last week, but I like to pay attention to new opening titles. You know,
mm-hmm.
Last season it changed about halfway through when they got like the sort of back nine order, right, like or whatever. They changed, so now we're seeing a lot of stuff. It's fun because with the first season you like see stuff in the opening credits you haven't seen before, opening titles, whatever, and then you like recognize it when it comes up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I've got a bunch of new clips that we haven't seen before. So I'm like, oh, at some point, Joey's going to be dressed as like a Christmas elf or whatever.
Yes, yes, yes.
Unless that happened last season, I'm forgetting. Did that happen last season?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so Ross convinces them it's okay. It's like you can go ahead. You can ask questions if you're curious. And I will admit, as dumb as Joey is supposed to be, the first question he thought of is the first question I thought of, which is,
does it hurt?
Does it hurt?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I would ask, too, if someone forced me to ask questions about breastfeeding. So anyway, that's the... then we finally get to the perk. And Monica agrees to go shopping with Julie.
Yeah.
Julie's back. Julie is in it for the long haul, apparently.
Did you notice that her haircut is growing out nicely? The one that Phoebe gave her?
The Dudley Moore one?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it.
No. That's Monica. So Monica's is also growing out nicely. But Julie...
The Roddy McDowell one.
Julie got the Roddy McDowell, but it looks cute.
I forgot about that. So yeah, we got Monica agrees to go shopping with Julie. Everyone's like, this is a bad idea. Rachel is going to be so mad at you. She's going to kill you.
She's going to kill you.
All these things. Then we get the Joey storyline, which I love. I love Joey's storyline this episode.
It was the funniest.
I guess this is the difference between last week, where the Rachel storyline felt like I was like so upset for her, and then it was like weird that we were doing other things.
Yeah.
You know? This, the tone is much lighter.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because we'll get to the end. And I think emotionally this episode is more effective than the premiere, which I think was laying it on a little thick and was uneven. This one being lighter ends up in a very I was emotional at the end. We'll get to it, but okay. I was emotional. But yeah, Joey works at, he's got the job spraying cologne
at a department
at
store.
Saks. It's Saks. Well, oh, okay. We get it. I don't know if they say Saks in the thing, but the establishing shot is Saks.
Okay.
His coworker Annabelle cracks me up.
Yeah.
Because she I don't know what she does there except for like get involved in Joey's life or whatever.
But she was also like kind of a bad actress.
Well, it's Emily Proctor who played Ainsley Hayes on The West Wing.
Okay. Maybe she was just, maybe her lines were just so like,
but it was
basic.
It was awkward that she like,
she just walked up and, hello, Joey.
She's only there for exposition or to be like a plot device where like Joey and the other clone guy both want to ask her out or whatever. But I don't know what her job is at Saks except to walk in and go, what happened? Or did you hear what happened? That's essentially.
Yeah, I guess her line reading felt, I don't know.
But I liked her southern accent, which we'll get back to. This is introduced. She has a southern accent, which kind of plays into the fact that Joey's storyline is like a Western.
An old Western, yeah.
Because there's the new guy whose name, they just call him Hombre because
we learn his name.
We learn his name. It's very funny. Because he sprays Hombre, a men's cologne, and he like dresses like a cowboy and is very good at his job and everyone's like jealous. And immediately, like, you see where it's going immediately because Joey's like, this part, you know, between these two departments, this is my territory.
Yeah, because like, Joey's in like a tux?
Yeah, he's in a tux because he's doing, it's like Bijan for men.
Yeah.
Which is that real? Because Bijan is a store on Rodeo.
I don't know if it is a real perfume.
Okay. But I don't know if you know what the Bijan store on Rodeo, it's like,
I don't.
Been there forever. Like it's part of, it's one of the anchors of like why Rodeo became Rodeo. Like
this I don't know about history.
Incredibly tacky and opulent store. And it has, it's such an institution. So I work, as you know, the listeners don't know, I work very near Rodeo. So I see this I've been working at home for almost 2 years now, but I see this. It's such an institution. Like the color yellow is associated with Bijan, and he parks a yellow, I want to say Rolls Royce or something, right out front of the store. And it's such an institution that I guess the city of Beverly Hills has given him a, he still has to pay a parking meter, or maybe it's just for show.
I'm sure it's just for show.
There's a parking meter that is the same shade yellow as the car.
Ugh, that's gross.
Because it's, Bijan has been there for probably 50 something years. Yeah. It's like, it's the, cause working right near Rodeo Drive, you see a lot of turnover with those stores, you know? And even the stores themselves, if Louis Vuitton stays, it still like completely redesigns itself every 2 or 3 years. But Bijan is like the anchor, the mainstay.
I guess
it's very tacky.
I guess I like that history part of it, but I don't like how like the city is like sanctioning this monster.
Yeah, that's Beverly Hills. monster. Like, we got way off track here, but that's what Bijan is. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm sure it is the actual brand. I've never heard of Hombre, but like that could be, a brand, I think, of cologne.
That definitely sounds like a men's cologne.
Yeah.
So back, we jump around from story to story a lot this episode, in a way that sounds, I don't know if that sounds like a complaint. It's very lively. It kept me very interested. Mm-hmm. I liked the way the episode was paced and edited. Mm-hmm. So we jump back to the perk, and Monica wants Phoebe to lie about having gone shopping with her because she was actually shopping with Julie, and Phoebe is a very, very bad liar.
Yeah.
Which kind of like is a weird, I didn't even think of this as similarities and differences, like Phoebe like repeating exactly what she's told is kind of like Robin, as we'll see, saying like Ted found an old penny or whatever.
Yeah.
like trying to cover up for something.
I didn't clock that as a similarity, but yes.
I didn't until I just said it just now, but yeah, she's very bad at lying. The thing I noticed here in this scene, the thing that leapt out to me is that Rachel has a different shirt that also has a name tag sewn on that says Tees. This must have been a brand.
I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that, but aren't we supposed to wait for the fashion segment?
I guess I should have, but this didn't really seem like fashion. I didn't even notice it. Is this like a brand that had some like...
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the Tees brand.
Neither was I, but last week it was like navy and this was a white one, but they both had the same like sewn on name
tag. I think sometimes it's like an inside joke, you know, maybe amongst the costume or the designers, you know?
I wonder if they just got a bunch of free stuff. Cause I'm reminded, I remember reading that like, if you care enough about metal to notice these kind of things, when you watch The Sopranos, you'll be like, wow, AJ wears a lot of apparel from bands that are on Roadrunner Records.
Right.
And it's cause Roadrunner very early on the show's run just sent them a ton of stuff. Like, hey, we saw AJ wearing a Slipknot shirt in season one. Here's a bunch more stuff in case you want it. And that's why for like the rest of the series, AJ's always in Roadrunner Records stuff. So maybe this Tees brand, just like maybe someone on the show knows the founder of Tees.
There is a lot of like inside jokes amongst the crew, because I told you about, you didn't notice it, but like everyone was reading in the background and it was like so apparent to me. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that maybe like the writers or like the crew can like have some like wiggle room on.
So what, like reading, just reading? Like,
you don't remember that conversation?
Yeah, I did. But I thought you were trying to say that they were like something they were reading was in particular.
No. Everyone was reading something different, whether it was a magazine or a book or a crossword puzzle, or like everyone was reading something, a menu. Everyone in the background was reading something.
And you're saying that like, that's an extra touch that's added that's not necessarily in the script, that on the day the actors or the director or someone came up with that. Is that what you're...
Yes, saying? But I'm also saying like the same as like the costume design. Like, oh, let's put another person in this tee. You know, like it's a kind of like a little like wink.
Yeah, I'm following you.
Okay.
I'm with you. Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Or I think it's a possibility at least. I wouldn't know. So we get to the scene where Carol is actually dropping off Ben at Aunt Monica's, right?
Yeah.
And she's giving Ross all the instructions about what to do, and Ross is maybe the first time in the show's history that Ross has been kind of like petulant and I've been on his side, where when he was like, yeah, we have a good time and we're together, it's almost like we're father and son, and I kind of wanted to be like, oh yeah, Carol, you could chill a little bit, like,
right? But she's just, I mean, he's still very young, so she's
she's protective. And I really liked Carol. This is a great choice. I don't know where this, like we were saying, this was in the script. This was decided by, and I'm forgetting her name, who plays Carol. I should know that by now. I know Jessica Hecht plays Susan. I can't think of the actress's name who plays Carol. I'll correct that. Did you notice, because she's like trying to show her, here's like funny clown.
Mm-hmm.
And Ross is like bouncing and patting Ben, and Carol starts doing that to the clown.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like she's like,
she's like mirroring his.
She misses holding Ben.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really great, like, it was funny, but it was also very like sweet and very like in character, I guess. And then, okay, here's something that I didn't think. The laugh track, or I guess it's an actual studio audience, as we talked about last week, really surprised me in this scene. Because Rachel picks up this shirt. She's like, oh, I love this shirt. My mommy's love me, which I thought was a cute shirt. And everyone's like, there's like a hold for laughter. And I was like, this.
Well, no, it was the weird part was like she lifted up the shirt. We could all read it. And then Ross says, huh, my mommy's love me. He repeated it. And then the laugh track came. So it was like you didn't trust that we were all reading it, even though you showed us. And it was clear what the shirt said. It took him to actually repeat it that the laughs finally came.
Well, I guess for the studio audience, maybe they couldn't read it because it was farther away than the cameras. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but the show is for a television audience.
And that's why I'm saying what I thought was, I think in my 2021 eyes, just seems like a cute shirt. Was something they considered a joke that they had to like really
like haha lesbian. We've always noticed this about the show is lesbianism is the punchline
just as a concept.
Just as a funny like, oh haha, this guy lost his wife to another woman. Ha ha. What luck, you know, like it's.
But now the idea of a baby having multiple mommies is not, doesn't even register as.
No, there's like nothing. For us. Yeah. Like what else you got? Like that's fine.
Yeah. I'm going to skip this next part because you laughed hard enough at it that it might be on your funniest moment, so I'm not going to say anything. But then we get to sort of like the meat of the episode in a way, where Phoebe tests out the temperature of the breast milk mm-hmm. that Carol has left on her arm mm-hmm. and then licks it off.
Yeah.
And Ross and Chandler, I still get Chandler and Joey mixed up.
Yeah.
Ross and Chandler are just freaked out by it.
Well, so is Rachel. They're all kind of like freaked out by it.
Oh, Rachel is too?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's in the background, like with her hand over her mouth, like, oh my God, I can't believe you just did that.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
But then, Joey's like, it's not a big deal. He has some, so this ends up becoming like, you know, it's the one with the breast milk. This is obviously a big part of the episode. How do you feel about it?
I think it's totally normal.
Okay.
And I think like being grossed out by it, it's understandable, I guess, but only if you, I mean, eating formula too, or like testing out formula is also weird. It's not meant for you to try. You're just testing the temperature.
But I guess it's the fact that it came out of the body of someone, you know, well, like I feel like if this were a stranger's breast milk, that would probably be worse to do, but like not as gross to me, the idea that like, oh, this is a person I know, and this thing her body is producing to keep her baby healthy, I'm gonna taste it. It seems
I'm gonna
weird.
Get like preachy on you, like how weird is it that we're taking another mammal's milk and that's just normal? Like this is, people are drinking cow's milk all the time and think nothing of it. This is meant to sustain a calf and we're drinking it all the time, so why wouldn't, it's not that different. It seems more normal for us to try human milk than another animal's milk.
Right. Cause you drink human milk as an infant. But I guess just the idea of someone that you can have a conversation with and also eating something. You're right. If I logic my way through it, it doesn't make any sense, but it's just, I get the, I don't know that I would have.
Is it because breath? I mean, is it because a breast is sexualized?
No, I'm saying it came out of, to me, it's like, and I know this isn't true, but I'm saying I get the reaction that certain people in the show had because it's not really any different than if Phoebe drank some of Carol's urine.
Oh God, that's not meant to be like.
I know that, but I'm saying that's my like lizard brain. That is the response that I have.
Yes.
Like, no.
And I understand that. I guess I understand that as much as when people see a breastfeeding woman, it's like, because we've grown so long in this like culture that sexualizes the female breast, it's hard to see it being used for another purpose.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've tried breast milk, human breast milk.
I did as a baby, obviously, but I never have as an adult.
I wouldn't compare it to cantaloupe juice as Susan does.
Yeah, we'll get to that scene actually, because sometimes there are things I'm doing like my recap, and then sometimes there are things that
pop out.
I have a funniest moment.
Oh,
I'm gonna wait to get to that.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the big like conflict of the episode, or the comedic conflict. The actual conflict is Monica and Julie cheating on Rachel with Julie. And we get a great scene here where Rachel, because Monica borrows Rachel's jacket, goes to lunch with Julie. Rachel puts the jacket on, mm-hmm. finds the receipt, mm-hmm. which nice that Monica took Julie to lunch, apparently.
Yeah.
And also, I forget that they're like, Monica like has a good job.
Yeah,
you
she
know?
Could spend $53 on...
And go to Bloomingdale's multiple times. Or
multiple
like they're
times,
like,
yeah. They're all rich.
They're all doing okay.
Yeah.
Well, not Joey.
So the
Rachel.
Fact that Julie and Monica go to Bloomingdale's is like even more offensive, because that's like Rachel's... It's like cheating in Rachel's church.
Oh, isn't that what Joey says?
Yeah.
Something like?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, something about that. Yeah, that's true. So she goes to... but then we get this whole argument that's like a cheating couple, or a couple where one of them has cheated. Monica's saying, like, it only happened once. She meant nothing to me. All these, like, sort of cliches. I really enjoy. I thought that scene was very funny. And it's weird we get two. Because last week you got the thing with Phoebe talking about Monica's hair as if she was a doctor giving news about the patient.
Yeah.
Here we get the cheating thing and also the Western thing. Yeah. I like the show, like mapping different existing genres onto its own conflict.
Yes.
I think that's funny when it's well done.
Yes.
So I liked that.
Also, one of my favorite scenes was like the old barkeep.
That's literally next on my, well, actually I have one more thing. I like that. We come back from commercial at one point. I mean, we're watching on HBO Max. We don't have commercials, but it's clearly a commercial, but we come back from a commercial with a shot of Ben awake in his crib. And then you cut to a wide shot and both Chandler and Ross are napping, like leaning on the side of the crib.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
But yes, the scene you're talking about, go ahead.
So Joey's wearing his like Western gear still from Saks, and he comes home. Like, why wouldn't he change? Like, that's clearly like he wore it on the subway with the hat, with the like.
Yeah.
So he comes home and he's like complaining about the day he had, and then he said, "I need a box of juice. Like, I need a drink."
Yeah.
You know, and he sits down at their little like breakfast nook bar area.
Yeah.
And Chandler like pours him some juice and then slides it across the bar.
Yeah. And he shoots it.
Joey shoots it, asks for another one. And Chandler like whips a rag over his shoulder as if he were like a saloon.
Yeah. Giving advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved that. Although it's weird. Like,
and it's a Minute Maid juice.
That's what's so funny. Like again, with this show, wouldn't Joey just want like a beer or whatever? But I get it. It's the juice is funnier.
Yeah.
Definitely funnier. So then we get to the scene that I wanted to talk about when the what's what I'm looking for?
The
Rachel and Monica like resolve is what I'm looking for. But they resolve their issues. Mm-hmm. But did you notice, the shot starts outside of the perk.
Yes.
Did you notice the chalkboard?
No.
It was a chalkboard of upcoming events, and it said Thursday, Phoebe Buffay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's a regular, performer.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, I noticed that as well. I think this is the first time we've seen outside of Central Perk.
Yeah. I think
because
right.
We get the wide shot, but we don't see like right in front where there's like tables.
Right, we don't have scenes outside.
Yes,
yes. So Monica goes in, and she and Rachel have there's a word I'm looking for.
Heart to heart.
A coming together. What is the word I'm
culmination?
Looking for? Anyway,
joining.
I can't.
Okay, move on.
And it's very sweet. It's like funny. This is what I like when the show does this. Like how I didn't like going back to season one of How I Met Your Mother. Like Lily's big, like I keep saying like, but Lily's big decision-making moment with Robin where she's saying, I have this and I have to this and you know, whatever. I was kind of bored by it. Cause I was like, you're still a comedy. Let's have some comedy.
Right, right.
And I loved this scene because it actually is, I think, very real and palpable. The emotion, the friendship between them, the emotion and what they mean to one another, what they would do for one another. But it's all happening with Rachel doing this insanely high pitched crying voice. It's very funny.
It's very
and
also, funny.
And I think the two things in concert make it better that it's funny and sweet. I was way more emotionally moved than Lily, like laying out her, I don't know, entire philosophy to Robin.
Yeah, because I think Rachel and Monica, when they're doing, like, they know that it's funny, but they feel it. It's like an overwhelming feeling. And I've had moments like that with girlfriends that it's like, maybe we argued about something and then we're like apologizing and then like talking about how much we care about each other. Like I've been there and I feel like it's laughable how much we care and how much like we're both in this like emotional moment. Like I'm tearing up thinking about it because I'm recalling times like this where I've been like so close with a friend and it's funny because like there's so much emotion and when you're both feeling it, like it's palpable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was helpful to me.
Phoebe joins in.
Yeah, Phoebe just wanted to.
She wanted the hug.
Yeah. But then, so that's kind of the climax, but then we have to resolve all their storylines. So yeah. We get the showdown between Joey, who's now, as you mentioned, also dressed as the cowboy because he's also selling ombre, and he's in all white.
Yeah.
And ombre, whose name we learn is Todd.
Who's Todd?
Is in all black.
And he has like a silly, like, is it like an Italian? It was almost like a Jersey accent.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Once because before he was just talking in ombre.
Yeah.
Ombre.
I heard you. Yeah. Yeah.
They have their, like...
Showdown,
you know, when the doors open and the customer walks in, which is funny to me to imagine this man just waiting outside of Saks for the door to open.
Yeah. And it was like a slow-mo shot of this guy walking into Saks.
Yeah. And they're both going to try and like spray him first. And Todd,
they're twirling their like gun colognes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Todd sprays him right in the eye and the guy says he's going to sue. And Todd like gets fired.
Yeah.
But it reminded me, have you seen that? I can't remember who's like an Instagram or whatever, but, a video of the Cheesecake Factory at either the Grove or the Americana, like opening its doors at exactly 11 a.m. and so many people just waiting to gosh. Like just standing around waiting for the Cheesecake Factory to
That's
open.
Very funny.
Going in. No shade on the Cheesecake Factory. I'm a fan.
No, but maybe not at 11.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then Joey gets the girl, Emily Proctor, Ainsley Hayes, Annabelle is her name, and they walk off together into the sunset, which is like a mural on the back
wall for cruise wear
store.
Yeah. So like cruise wear is not commonly a but they needed that sunset.
They needed a sunset. Yeah. I like that. I love that the sunset was there the whole episode. All the department store scenes had the sunset.
Yeah,
and yet I didn't see it coming because
it was an old west setting. Yeah,
minute. Yeah. Rachel and Julie also have their coming together, burying the hatchet. Why can't I think of this name, this word?
Denouement?
I guess it is a denouement in the story, but that's not what I'm looking for. So they have their thing, and then it seems like it's sweet, and then I didn't like that once Julie walks away, Rachel says...
Manipulative bitch.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
And then we get the tag of Ross finally drinking... some of Carol's breast milk, which he chugs with a plate of Oreo cookies.
They always, like, props to the props, they always, like, snack an insane amount of snacks. They stack snacks. They've done this before.
Yeah.
So the pile of Oreo cookies is, like, an entire box of Oreo cookies. Yeah,
those are too many. Because I think we mentioned it when George Clooney and Noah Wiley were on, and they were, like, going out to dinner.
Yeah.
But... Monica first prepared this like enormous like hummus and crudite platter. Yes.
And there was also like a whole platter of Fig Newtons. Do you remember?
That's right. Yeah. Too many snacks, but yeah, props to the props.
And also there at the, I think the opening scene, there were some nice looking muffins, at the perk.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Well, oh, sorry. Do you have any other, things you wanted to call out before we move on to funniest moments?
Well, I like in this, like Phoebe doesn't have a lot of storyline, and I feel like unlike everyone else, she's not having any of this drama, like with Julie, like she's kind of like, I think she's above it, you know, like she doesn't want to waste her time with this petty drama.
Yeah.
With, you know, Ross and Rachel. And I think that'll change in time. But right now she's just kind of like on the sidelines, like not giving a fuck.
Well, she's got other things in her mind. She has to take her grandma to the vet.
Yeah. We'll learn more about her grandma going to the vet.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to funniest moments. Let's see. I have to pick because there's a number of them.
Yeah, I have a few.
But the one I'm going to pick is, you'll understand what I mean before I have to explain to the listeners, but Ross applies the breast milk to his arm the same way that I put hot sauce on things, which is like vigorously, yes. Like almost like throwing it out of the bottle onto it. Because you always laugh at me when I'm like putting hot sauce on things, and I'm like almost kind of like violently throwing hot sauce out of the bottle onto the. Yeah.
But it doesn't make it come out any faster. It's just like a weird, like almost like a flex. I don't know.
No, it does make more come out per shake.
I don't think so.
So I get it over with sooner.
It's about the tilt. Like it's not about the pressure.
I think it is.
Okay.
I think if I pressure means more comes out at once.
Okay.
With the hot sauce bottle in particular, which has the stopper in it to keep you from like, because it like a Tapatio bottle, if you hold it upside down, it doesn't pour out.
Tapatio, yes, yeah. But not.
That's what I'm saying.
But only Tapatio.
Yeah, not that's every, the one that I do it with.
Okay, but not because I use a totally different hot sauce, and that doesn't have the mechanism to stop it.
I see what you're saying. But that's the one you laugh at me about.
It's always Tapatio. Got it.
All right. What are your?
There were several.
Yeah, me too. We'll go back and forth.
I don't remember if it was Joey or Chandler's question about breastfeeding because it was like, if you have a question about breastfeeding, just ask Carol, you know, like don't be all weird and squeamish about it. And then was it Joey or Chandler who asked like, if he blows in one, like,
does he, hold on, I did write it down. If he blows into one, does the other one get bigger?
Does the other one get bigger? Which is funny.
Yeah. Sometimes I screw myself over here with, I just put the part that made me laugh and I forget
the
to
context,
put down the setup. What does, when I still get their names mixed up, when Joey is dressed as a cowboy and he says something about like, they're doing this to me or whatever. And Chandler says, well, maybe it's because of the way you're dressed. Like, it's obviously he's dressed that way because he's like pushing ombre or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly what Chandler said. Like, oh, they put me on the Western cologne or whatever. And he says, maybe it's because of the way you're dressed.
Yeah, that was funny. I liked when after Monica gets back from Bloomingdale's with Julie and talks Phoebe into like lying and pretending like she went shopping with her.
Yeah.
And Rachel goes, oh, like, what were you shopping for to Phoebe? And Phoebe's a bad liar. She said, fur? Yeah. And rightfully, Rachel's like, but why would you be shopping for fur? Like, yeah, you're a vegetarian. Yeah. Like, she's like, yeah. And I decided how much I am against that. And yeah. That was funny.
There one more breast-related joke from Chandler. When Ross makes the argument that like breast milk is only for babies. Mm. And Chandler says, well, the packaging does appeal to grownups and kids alike.
Yeah. You laughed aloud at that one.
I like your judgment there. Yeah. I noticed you. You're like Invest in Show. And you're like, I remember you said that last year.
Yeah. You said that last year. I also laughed when, they're at the apartment and Monica gets a call and it's obviously Julie and she says, Hi, Jew.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my friend Ed Mankiewicz. So it just makes up like a Jewy name.
Yeah. That's the one I wrote down. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's going to be on Natalie's funniest moments.
Do you have any more?
No, we can move on.
When Phoebe, I think like being annoyed at the whole like drama between, Julie and Rachel, Phoebe's like, if you go shopping with her, Rachel will kill you. She will hunt you down like a dog in the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Let's move on to Friends, but make it fashion. I have so many that I just stopped writing them down. I feel like this second season, I don't know if it's cause the show's a success. Maybe they got a bigger budget. What like everyone looked great or at least notable, mostly Monica. I'll start with, because these are like, as you pointed out, these aren't always things we approve of, just things we thought were notable. Nice.
Yeah.
In the opening scene at the apartment, Chandler looks like Aladdin.
He does with the little vest.
Because his pants are way too baggy, yes. And he's got a Billy Wee shirt, and over it he's got a vest. He looks like he's cosplaying as Aladdin.
In the same scene, Monica is cosplaying as Sporty Spice.
She had a tank top.
A sporty tank top.
That had like a cross.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Good.
I also think Sporty Spice is cool.
Yeah, Melanie C.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I know my Spice
Girls. Also in that first scene, Phoebe's wearing like a silky shift dress.
Okay.
Like a floral.
Yeah.
Long dress.
I didn't notice that. I noticed in the first perk scene, Julie is wearing like, it's like just this side of being like an old timey nurse's outfit, but it was like a white cotton dress that had like a collar and it was like kind of short. It looked cool, but it was just like a little bit like closer. It would have been cosplaying as a nurse, but I thought it looked good.
Okay.
I mentioned Nehru collars in the first season because weirdly, I don't know why this episode keeps coming up. George Clooney and Noah Wiley were both wearing Nehru collars, which is like the thing that doesn't fold. Like you're looking at my collar right now, folds. In the scene, the first breast milk scene where Chandler's one of the ones who's all grossed out and he keeps saying, "What did you just do?" or whatever. He's wearing a denim shirt with a Nehru collar. Hmm. Didn't love it, but. And then I have one more. I liked Monica's black polo in the big like argument scene. It was like a very like fitted black polo with what would you call that that sleeve length, like just above the, it came down above the elbow. It was
So it's, I guess,
a quarter length sleeve, or
no, because that's here, so it'd be like 2/3.
So it's like a three quarter length.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you start.
It's like half.
So quarter length starts from the wrist.
This is a three quarter.
Okay, that's a three quarter. So that's this what I'm saying. Is that a quarter?
It's a quarter. Yeah.
So maybe it was a quarter length sleeve.
Yeah.
Almost a half length.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was like a.
Like I want to like say a, it's a. It's not short sleeve, but it's not long sleeve, but it's like a longer short sleeve.
3/8 length sleeve.
3/8 sleeve. Yeah.
There you go. All right, that's all my fashion moments. Do you have any running jokes, motifs, or any foreshadowing you want to call it?
Well, we mentioned Phoebe's cat. I mean, grandma or mom, what did she say?
She had to take her grandma to the vet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No other foreshadowing.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Well then, should we move on to How I Met Your Mother, Season 2, Episode 2, The Scorpion and the Toad?
Yes.
Take us
so
through it.
So, we open at McLaren's.
Well, I was going to ask you, does it count, because we get kind of like a half, because first we get Bob Saget talking, and we get like a little, almost like a previously on segment, but within the show, where he's talking about the fight and how and what a bum, like a bummer Marshall has been, so we're seeing images from episode one, but then the show proper starts at McLaren. So I didn't know, does this count as a McLaren's opening?
I consider it a McLaren's opening, but so in that very first scene, they're all sitting around, and you know, Robin gets up to leave, and Marshall just like looks at her as she's leaving, and Ted and Barney are super excited because he checks out her ass. And they're like, that to them is like indicative of like he's finally over Lily, or he's finally like ready to kind of move on. Ted gets excited because he wants to, you know, show him how to be a bachelor in New York City, which we've already seen these before. Like, I'm going to show you like my side of town. Like, we're going to go to the strip club. We're going to go to the bars. We're going to hit on the ladies. Like, this is all Barney does.
So
their storyline is like Barney's taking him all over the place and trying to be a wingman, but he ends up going home with all of the women that like Marshall's trying to talk to.
Yeah.
And Marshall is very much like trying to talk to them. Like, he has a different version of like scoring. It's like getting a number and then thinking about where they're going to go to eat, and then they're going to walk through the park. So it's very different.
I guess I'll take that off of my funniest moments list.
Oh, the Chinese food and the walk in the park.
Maybe we'll have Chinese food and walk through the park.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think that was like supposed to be a joke. That's like how Marshall thinks.
But I think it's funny that he thinks like that.
Yeah. But yeah, Barney just like takes them home and sleeps with all of them before Marshall can. So each time it happens, Marshall's like, this is the last time I'm doing this. I'm not going to go out with you again. But like Barney keeps talking him into going out again. Barney teaches him the ways of like negging, basically.
Yeah, essentially negging.
Yeah.
To Marshall's credit, he's terrible at.
He's terrible at. And, you know, it's a falsehood.
Yeah.
I don't know who that works for, but, and I don't know. But he's also, showing him the, like his magic skills. So NPH is like, he's a legitimate magician, right?
He's in his element.
So he probably had so much fun doing these magic tricks. And I was impressed by the palm, How would you describe that trick? Like,
he's like giving
like a little explosion,
a little flashbang thing, yeah. Whatever. But then his palmy has written on whatever someone's reaction is.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's impressive. And then there's the intrigue about like just being like mysterious.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, this keeps happening over and over again. And there's a final scene with that storyline with twins, but I guess we can get to that later. The other storyline of the show is that Lily's back in New York and shows up at Robin's apartment, and she needs to find an apartment back in New York, but she's, you know, regaling Robin with stories of San Francisco and how magical it is and how she had such a great art career and met fascinating people on the bus. So we're seeing like this idealized version of Lily's experience in SF.
But at this point, we don't know it's idealized. I mean,
it's kind of obvious because the art teacher is like, I can't teach you anything else. This is superb. This is perfect art. And then we see like a montage of like all the interesting people she meet. Like, I work for the Peace Corps. Like, I'm a surgeon. I'm a punk rock band.
Real quick, the two things. When she shows up, did you notice she actually is as like tan and freckly as Marshall imagined her in episode one?
Yeah.
Because she's again got the bare shoulders and
arms. she has straight hair now.
Right. And it's darker, or it's more brown.
It's darker, like, I guess, richer. I don't know.
It's less red than it was.
Yeah. I think in fashion, we talk about hair, don't we, sometimes?
I guess we could. We could save it for that. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the art teacher is an actor named Richard Wharton, who most recently, in my mind, at least in my memory, was in the final episode of season two of I Think You Should Leave, the sketch. The sketch where the little girl has to watch a video before she can get her ears pierced at Tiffany's. And there's the old guy who's talking about his like experience getting his ears pierced for his trip to Florida. And it's like the saddest man in the world. That's the same guy who played the art teacher.
That's very funny. Okay. So Robin and Ted disagree about, So Ted, knowing Lily for so long, is like, she's not happy. That can't be true. I think she probably misses Marshall a great deal and is regretting it. And Robin says, no, like, she's having a great time. Like, she's having a wonderful time. And they decide that the best thing to do would be to, like, plow her with tequila because the truth always comes out.
Did you think of Elaine in the vault?
Yes. So yeah, they're like drinking shots of tequila. They're all getting drunk. And it does come out that Lily is not as happy in San Francisco and things didn't go her way. So there was like a funny montage of how they're all drunk. And then the next day they go to like a diner to get breakfast. Like how they all deal with their hangovers are very different.
Did you notice we see the diner set twice? Like, I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll come up more this season. Because why did they build this set to use it twice for two different, completely different scenes?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I wonder. But yeah, in that scene, also, no props to the props department here.
Oh.
They all had like cups of like tepid flat soda, which I feel like that shit they did like in Saved by the Bell. You know, like of a much like cheaper show.
Yeah.
You'd think that they wouldn't. There's no ice. There's no straws. It's just like a glass of flat soda.
Flat soda.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They should be topping that off.
They should. Yeah. It should look better.
Yeah.
So yeah, someone wasn't doing their job here. So yeah, in order to nurse a hangover, Ted just wants gravy. Lily wants a greasy tuna melt. And Robin is just still drunk.
Yeah, which I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, which you're a vegetarian, so neither of those options sounded better to you. But I was like, greasy tuna melt. That could be good.
And a milkshake. The whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a milkshake guy. No. But yeah, I could see being hungover and wanting a greasy tuna melt. This is a good question. What do you crave when you're hungover?
When I'm hungover, it's not as much as craving as like, give me some toast and coffee, maybe some eggs toast and coffee.
I tend to be very well, I, so I haven't really been hungover like I used to as a younger person in a long time. Yeah. Unlike a lot of people, apparently in America, I started drinking less during the pandemic.
Yes. Me too.
But I would say my go-to is like, well, I will wake up. If I wake up hungover, I usually have a stomachache and don't want to eat. But at some point, it's almost like a click, and I'm like, oh, I need to eat everything.
Yeah.
My go-to, if I can, like diner corned beef hash is...
Okay. If it's like the day after, like diner, like I'm not usually into like breakfast sweet foods, but like I'll take a pancake, or a waffle is pretty nice, or just like a burrito later on in the day.
Burrito's good. Yeah.
Okay. So where were we?
Well, they were at the diner nursing their hangovers.
Yes.
And Robin's still drunk. This guy likes pennies.
Robin's still, oh yeah, that was a funny joke about, yeah. Lily, Mrs. Marshall, she said that things didn't work out in San Francisco. Are we at the end now when they see each other outside of McLaren's?
Yeah, I think so. I think we are. Yeah.
Okay. So, Marshall's finally fed up with Barney's antics, cause he's now like moving on to this like menage a trois with these
twins,
which is gross.
Very gross.
So yeah, they go to the college bar called the Scorpion and the Toad. So that's the name of the episode and the college bar they go to. So
it's that's before the twins.
Well, that's where he meets one of them.
Yes.
So Marshall's talking to this woman and they're like kind of hitting it off, but Marshall's like, doesn't know how to get the number. You know, she's even like, oh, I'd like to see you again. And he doesn't know how to respond. So Barney,
I have a phone. Cool.
Yeah. Barney ends up getting her number and they're like fighting over the business card, the card with her number on it. Ted gets it. And then I guess Barney gets it. Yeah. And then I guess at a later date or the next day or something, Marshall is annoyed at Ted and Ted said, don't worry about it. Like turns out she has a twin
again, Barney.
Sorry. Barney is, is like, don't worry about it. She has a twin and they want a double date. So then Marshall and Barney go on a double date with the twins and Barney still has to take them both for himself.
Yeah.
So gross.
Did you notice, so in the scene where we're at the bar at McLaren's,
mm-hmm.
this is the scene where Barney says, like, guess what? That girl has a twin or whatever. Barney and Marshall are sitting at the bar as opposed to in one of their booths, which we haven't seen as much of. And that means there's an angle of McLaren's we've never seen before. When we're looking over Marshall's shoulder. We're seeing basically where the camera usually is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see that like the table, I don't know if you remember in the very, like early in the first season, they tried to make it seem as if we were looking when they were sitting at their usual like table,
mm-hmm.
as if they were in a booth and we were looking through like an invisible wall because mm-hmm. the camera would turn around and you'd see a wall where the camera would be.
Okay.
But they only did that in like one episode, I think, maybe two.
Okay.
And here you see that
it's like a four.
It is a table that they normally sit at.
Not a booth.
Yeah, and the bar goes on beyond that, which I think is a good fix for me, the only person in the world who noticed or cared about that.
I don't know when this comes out, but we see the actual like montage of Lily's experience in San Francisco where like their teacher's like, this is terrible. Like this is a terrible piece of artwork.
Yeah.
And then all the interesting people on the bus is just like a man with, dissociative identity disorder. And I used to also, I lived in San Francisco for college.
I was going to ask you.
And that was much more like the experience, not the art school thing, but just, the buses were always so packed. So it wasn't like sit down and meet it. You're always standing, like falling and, and you're probably, someone's talking at you with,
Yeah. Which I'm guessing is probably true of New York buses, too. It's not that far from L.A. But people think, I'm going to get my soapbox for a second. There's the thing people say, like, oh, nobody walks in L.A. People think, what? People take public transit? It's like, you're privilege is showing.
Yes.
Like, affluent people don't take public transit in LA. That's different. Okay. Whereas if in Chicago, like, I guess very rich people don't, but you see people of all, like, a lot of economic spectrum. But LA's buses and trains are packed, crowded with
people. Sure. And I've taken, you know, lots of public transit here in LA too. And I think some of the criticism is just the lack of accessibility, because it's not a robust, you know, like, you have to, like, a lot of people have to travel far just to get to the subway.
Especially the train, yeah. And the buses here go everywhere.
The buses are infrequent.
But they're infrequent, yeah. And they don't post the routes.
Yeah.
Which is discriminatory, because it means you have to have internet access to know when the bus is going to come and where that bus is going to go. Because it's not like, LA's not on a grid where it's like, okay, this bus is going to go down this street. They go all over the fucking place.
Or read English.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's... Yes, we criticize no one walks in LA, or, you know, like, yeah, we criticize the public transit because it's laughable and it's shameful.
Yeah.
So yeah, this, like, I like the idealized, like, bohemian San Francisco that, like, Lily is.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is, what did she say? Is the North Beach the best beach in the world, or whatever she called it? She was talking about some beach in the Bay Area.
Yeah, there's North Beach, there's Ocean Beach.
So I think she said North Beach is the best beach she's ever been to. Is North Beach a good beach?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think any of the beach... I mean, I used to live by Ocean Beach, and it was, like, the number one, like, place for shark attacks in all of California.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not, like, a nice, warm beach. It's, like, very, very choppy. I guess it's, like, good for surfing.
Okay.
But also shark attacks.
Yeah.
So yeah, Marshall leaves McLaren's and Lily's outside. So they have this, like, moment where they're, you know, like, oh my gosh, finally reuniting. And Lily wants to get back together with Marshall. And he says, you know what, you broke my heart and I'm not ready to do that. So she is sad about that, but says, like, can we still see each other? And he's like, of course, like, we would have to, you know, like...
But then he says, maybe, like, he's like, of course.
But now he's like thinking how hard that would be. But then it ends on a funny note, because he asks her for a favor, which is, to go in and, like, cock block Barney, who's, like, with the twins.
Yeah.
And, she says, like, she, like, runs in and says, like, you asshole, you gave me gave me chlamydia, and, like, pours a drink on him. Then leaves and then comes back again with, like, a hat.
Same dress.
But pretending to be the twin of the first one. And then
you gave my sister
chlamydia. Pours another drink on him.
Yeah, she said, I wish I'd written it down, because the things she calls, like you said, she doesn't say asshole. The things she calls him are funny. I think she says, like, monster the first time, and then the second time she's like, you gave my twin sister chlamydia, you slime, or something like that.
Yes.
And I also thought, going back to that very emotional heart-to-heart that Lily and Marshall are having. Reconciliation is the word that I was looking for earlier.
Reconciliation, good one.
Okay, that's not what this scene is, really. It's what you think it's going to be, and then Marshall is like, I'm not ready for that.
Right.
Because what he also says is, like, all that stuff you said about how we need to find ourselves is true. And I kind of realized that, like, mentally... after 3 or 4 months of wallowing or whatever, mentally Marshall is at the place that Lily was at back in May.
Right.
When she made this decision.
Right.
And he waited for her.
Yeah.
And now she, I guess, is going to have to wait for him to go through this. And, like,
right. Because, yeah, he said, like, this was the worst summer of my life. So he struggled. He went through it. Now it's, I guess, her turn to go through it.
Yeah. So I had a couple of things just I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the, this isn't the funniest moment, although it kind of is, early on when, Ted and Barney are trying to come up with what candy name is the best euphemism for breasts.
Oh yes.
That was funny enough, but I liked the time lapse where you see
an hour later,
in an hour, but they go through like four beers each over the course of that hour.
That's what they're doing with their night.
Yeah. Just getting drunk. And
we get Whoppers. We get Mounds. We
double,
get,
and the double bubble is the like
Milk Duds.
Milk Duds. Yeah. But I just liked the beers piling up.
Yeah.
And the, you know, meanwhile, you know, Joey's drowning his sorrows in Minute Maid orange juice.
Yeah.
And they're just for fun drinking a beer every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
There's also, speaking of how, like, with the My Mommies Love Me, how, like, things change, there is a part where Barney is saying that twins are the same person.
Yes, yes.
Like, one is just a copy of the other. But then he says, like, Marshall says something, like, sort of derogatory or dismissive about them, and Barney's like, Marshall, they're a person.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but, like, I felt like it took me a beat longer for me to find the joke.
Because we're used to pronouns.
Because the singular they is more common now.
Yes.
And it took me a second to be like, oh, that's a joke. He's saying they are one person.
Yes.
But the phrase, they're a person, is not.
And that's great. That means like it's starting to become like more. Yeah.
All right. That was it. Do you want to move on to your funniest
real quick,
one?
Oh, so we get a shot of like outside of McLaren's, like immediately in front. I guess that's a similarity. Because we get Central Perk immediately right in front. So it's not just the shot. It's like immediately right in front of like the stairs to the street.
Yeah, they both like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just a little foreshadowing of the similarities in the upcoming segment.
Any funniest moments? I have three.
I have one. And that's when. So when Barney is like. Being a intriguing magician, he like they're talking on the couch, Barney and Marshall, and Barney at one point like disappears, and Marshall's like, "How'd he do that?" And then you see him like stick his head out of the bathroom. I'm taking a leak.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna go. I'm taking a leak, dumbass. When we talked about the thing of him like writing on his hand what the person's gonna say.
Oh yeah,
and Marshall says, "You're a jackass," and he goes, "Bang!" And it says, "You're a jerk." He's like, "I thought you were gonna call me a jerk."
Yeah,
I cheated because I put one of my funniest moments was every magic joke. Every magic joke was hilarious to me.
Yeah,
like
the penny behind the ear or the quarter behind the ear was
before
funny.
They go out and he's like, "Empty your pockets, empty the," and he's like, "Don't forget behind my ear." He's like, "There's nothing behind your ear. What's this?"
Yeah,
and then they does a little like thing where he like. Barney flips the coin and leaves, and Marshall grabs out of the air and leaves behind him, closes the door behind him. Great little moment.
I always wonder how many takes that took for something like that.
Yeah, have you ever watched on the, in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, there's a part where...
With the keys toss?
No, I'm talking about specifically because he knows that Ramona is an Amazon delivery person, so he orders something from Amazon specifically to get her to come to his door.
Right.
And so there's a shot of him opening the door, he takes the package, and just tosses it over his shoulder into the trash can. And on the Blu-ray special features, you can watch the like 50, 60 takes it took them to do that. And then see like when he gets it and then wait for Edgar Wright to go cut. And then all like,
That's very funny. But there's a key toss when he goes.
That's right.
Demonstrating the key toss.
And then he like falls onto the bed or whatever.
Yeah.
The opposite of that though is in Alien Resurrection, the fourth Alien movie, there's a part where Sigourney Weaver tosses a basketball over her shoulder from like almost the other end of the basketball court into the basket, and she got it on the first try. And if you watch knowing that, you can see Ron Perlman, the actor, not being able to stay in character. You can see him like, because he's supposed to be like this tough like career criminal. You can see him be like,
he's really happy for her.
All right, so funniest moments. I mentioned all the magic, all the magic was very funny. I like Barney's argument that identical twins are the same person. Same person.
Yeah.
And then I liked Robin's, this is Robin and Marshall in tandem making this joke work when Ted's about to say like Lily's back in town and Robin like interrupts him and is like, Ted found a penny on the subway and it's old and that's interesting. And there's a beat where you think like Marshall's not going to buy that. And he goes, way to go.
Yeah. Because it is like he said it's a penny from 1932. And then Ted's just like, imagine like the story behind that. Like it's like clued into, I don't know, the kind of person that Ted is. And those are like good qualities that I like about Ted.
Yeah.
he's interested and he's curious and, yeah.
How about Have I Met Your Mother, but let's make it fashion.
Okay. So Lily just now wears maxi dresses and statement necklaces.
Okay. I wrote this down too. Was it, cause it seemed like she had a general hippie vibe going. Do you think it was, she was trying to like,
she was trying too hard. She wore like a peace sign necklace and then like a boho, like beanie.
Yeah. I feel like it's cause she's trying to project this.
She's
like,
trying to project this like bohemian, like this is who I am now.
Yeah.
But she went over the top with the maxi dresses. I thought.
Yeah. And like, cause the first thing we see her in is like a tie dye dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still so like a maxi wrap dress. Yeah.
Yeah.
So about the hair, I feel like there was a time in this era where it was in style to just like stick straight, like with a straightener. And it just looks like it needs conditioning. It needs like hot oil treatment. Like there's like nothing but split ends. And it bothers me because I never liked it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's very of the era to like take a natural texture and wave and just stick straighten it. Robin does the same thing and it always looks dead and it bothers me. So I like Lily when she had like a wave to her hair, it felt more natural, even if it was done with a curling iron or whatever. Yeah. It just didn't feel so forced and
life to it.
Yeah. Like they need a hot oil treatment and I don't like criticizing, you know, these things about people, but
it's a trend. They have, like you said, you can criticize trends without criticizing
dead hair.
Yeah.
Dry dead hair. All right, you got any themes?
Yeah, well, just as far as running things, we get the first Have You Met of the season.
This time
it was a Have You Met Marshall, which we've never had before because Marshall's never been single before.
Oh, also you always notice the like best friend.
Yes.
The best friend theme.
Yes. Yeah, so Barney's like, I know we're best friends. And Marshall's like,
Ted's
my best friend.
Yeah. let's be clear.
Yeah. There's a, another high five from Barney. This one, a hypothetical high five where he and Marshall do it in their heads.
Yeah.
Barney having arcane rules, is a running thing. And then, Robin's Canadian, which I can't remember. We talked about it before.
But
yeah, Robin being Canadian, is a big thing. And I love that it's something that Ted uses to try and like win arguments, even when it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Now, did you notice?
Okay.
I think it's like in the scene where Marshall is getting mad at Barney for like taking now both of the like prospects.
Yeah.
And, Barney says like every hombre for himself. And I said, hombre.
Yeah. We're moving on to similarities and differences. Yes. I also wrote that down.
Yeah.
The word hombre comes up in both.
Yeah.
On a more like, serious similarities and differences, I like the show's, somewhat different, but also equally valid and touching conceptions of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Monica and Rachel like coming together and essentially like what had been a joke the entire episode of like, oh, it's like they're a couple where someone has cheated and they're like going through, but they're like profession of love for one another.
Yeah.
You know, was very touching in a less overtly emotional way. I found it very touching that Ted, when Robin is telling Ted, I spent the day with Lily. She said this, she's having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ted totally believed Robin. Like, oh no, Lily has come back and she had a great time. This is terrible for Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until he spends 30 seconds with Lily that he, as someone who has been her friend for a decade, is like, no, she's not happy. I like that both shows, illustrate the depth and connection of friendship. And I think it is a bit of, progress between one show to the other that How I Met Your Mother has that platonic friendship of depth between Ted and Lily. There's no like will they won't they with Ted and Lily. This is just two people who have been friends for almost a decade.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Also like a similarity, I'm just now realizing this, but in the depth of the connections that you mentioned before, all of the other friends are forced to kind of like, I don't know, pick up like where their loyalties are. you know, like on what side of things.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like struggling with like, whose side are you on, Lily or Marshall? And then in the Friends universe, like they have to decide like, oh, I want to support Ross's new girlfriend, right. but also, yeah. you know, Rachel's my friend. So it's like, where do your loyalties lie?
Yeah, that's true.
Similarity.
Well, let's, this is like, I mean, we got a real Sophie's choice here for doing playing favorites.
Okay.
I think I know which one I'm going to give it to, but this is it's almost a coin toss.
Okay.
I love both episodes.
Coin toss. There's
yeah.
coins working here. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
How
Friends.
I Met Your Mother. yeah. I had, it was literally like both episodes are great. I think the running jokes of Barney doing magic was just enough to put it over the top. Okay. I think I by a hair laughed more at How I Met Your Mother than Friends this week. And that's the only thing that made the difference. They were both shows are clearly like on all, running on all cylinders, firing on all cylinders in terms of like understanding who their characters are.
The whole like Western was so funny to me and Friends. And I forgot to mention this, like one of the funniest scenes I thought in the Friends episode, I know that we're past that,
yeah,
was
fine.
Like in the first scene when, you know, Joey is trying to spray his, Bijan, and a yep. man is like, oh, no, a man in the department store is like, oh, no, thanks. And then Ombre's like, Ombre, and he's like, oh, hello, yes. Yeah. Like, it's just that sort of like extra character work.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Yeah.
Well, let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce, which is a segment we like to call How Were We Doing?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at what was going on in the world on the days these episodes aired. So Friends Season 2, Episode 2, the one with the breast milk, aired on Thursday, September 28th, 1995. On that day, well, first off, it was Teacher's Day in Taiwan, so that's good. Mm. Couple of things. A short-lived Mary Tyler Moore dramatic series called New York News premiered, which was Mary Tyler Moore, and Madeline Kahn.
Ooh, I like her.
And Melina Kanakaridis, if you know who that is.
Nope.
So that's the fun thing. The not-so-fun thing that happened, Bobby Brown was shot at outside of a bar in Boston, and his sister's fiancé was killed in the shooting.
Okay.
So those are two things that happened on that day. And then of course, let's look at the top five songs in the US, cause that's the most fun part. Some change in order, I think this week, but essentially the same songs, Mariah Carey, Fantasy,
mm-hmm.
Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise mm-hmm. is at number 2, number 3, Michael Jackson, You Are Not Alone. Number mm-hmm. 4, Seal's Kiss from a Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And number 5, Janet Jackson's Runaway.
These are all good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good songs. Season 2, Episode 2 of How I Met Your Mother, The Scorpion and the Toad, aired on Monday, September 25th, 2006. One interesting thing that happened this day, the New Orleans Saints played their first home game in the Superdome since Hurricane Katrina.
Wow, that was a big deal. Yeah.
Beforehand. Yeah. I don't know. 2006, whenever I go to this, there's like so much like just war on terror, war in Iraq, war in Afghanistan stuff. That's like,
yeah,
that's not the show we're doing
yeah.
here, you know?
Yeah.
So let's just move on to the top five songs in the US. At number 1, again, Justin Timberlake's Sexy Back. At number 2, Ludacris's Moneymaker. I don't remember that song.
No.
Number 3, JoJo's Too Little Too Late.
No.
Number 4, Fergie, London Bridge. Terrible song.
Yeah.
Number 5, I have no idea. Hinder is the group or artist. The song is called Lips of an Angel.
I think this is like a girl group.
Should we look it up?
No. You go. I'll look it up.
Well, that's it. That's the end of the list of things that happened on that day.
Okay.
So let's move on to our final segment, which we call Challenge Accepted, in which we make predictions on what's going to happen next on these respective shows based only on the existing knowledge, I guess, but also the episode title. But first we have to look at how we did last week. I said that Ross is going to tote some of Carol's bee milk into Rach and Mon's crib. I think I get a point for that.
Yes, yes, you do.
You came so close. Ugh. And I knew, full disclosure, I knew when you made the prediction, I was like, oh, she's so close.
Okay.
Because we were talking about the parable of the scorpion and the toad.
Right.
You know, the scorpion is going to sting the toad no matter what.
Right.
Because it's a scorpion. That's its nature. Right. So you said, you correctly predicted that Barney would be the scorpion, that Barney would scorp out. But you said that Ted would totally get stung.
Yeah.
But in my head last week, I was like, Marshall's the single one. Obviously, it's going to be Marshall. But
yeah, well,
I'm ahead now.
I
think for the first time in the history of us doing this,
yeah,
I'm ahead.
Yeah, by 1 point.
By 1 point. Yeah. Exactly 1 point. Yeah. So let's make our predictions for next week. Okay. Why don't you, did you look up Hinder so you can?
Yes, it's not a girl band. It looks just like a embarrassing American rock band, but they look pretty pathetic.
Oh no, like
how would you,
like post new metal, like butt rock? Like,
yeah,
that kind of
like Sunset Boulevard.
Oh yeah,
like douchebags.
Oh, that's an embarrassing photo shoot.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, speaking of hair trends of the mid-2000s, yeah, that haven't aged well. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so where was I? Friends, Season 2, Episode 3, is called The One Where Heckles Dies.
You remember Heckles?
I don't think Heckles has come up before. Heckles come up before?
Okay, I thought so. No mind. Okay.
I'm gonna say Heckles is, have we established whether or not Phoebe has pets? And maybe I'm just thinking about this because she said she was taking her grandma to the vet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm thinking about Phoebe and the vet because of that. So what if that's what it is, though? What if grandmother is like a cat, but then it's Heckles? I'm going to say Phoebe has a pet that dies.
Okay. So how are you going to spin this one?
Phoebe's pet goes off to the coffee shop in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Good one.
So, your challenge that you must accept.
Okay.
How I Met Your Mother, Season 2, Episode 3. It's called Brunch.
Okay. Okay. So, I'm going to say that this is a Marshall Lily episode, Lily Pad and Marshmallow episode. And in trying to be friends or kind of like reestablish their friendship, they're going to have like a friendly brunch.
Okay.
Marsh and Lil.
Marshmallow and?
Lily Pad. Brunch.
Attempt to bury the hatch over a plate of
hash. Yes. Oh, you're so good at this.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, you can find this episode or this podcast in Battleship Retention, my other podcast, at battleshipretention.com. You can also subscribe to this. You know where you can subscribe to this. You're already listening to it. You can find my movie reviews at battleshipretention.com. You can email me at david@battleshipretention.com. Follow me on Twitter at @DavyPretension. And of course, most importantly, in terms of reaching out to us, find us or email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. Natalie, where do you want people to find you again? I always forget.
I don't. However, you should rate and review and tell your friends and tell your mothers.
Yes.
To listen to this podcast.
Please do.
Yeah. So, until next time, see you in the cruiseware department.